This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Yet another COVID record. Good morning, I'm Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino on this Thursday, December 30th. Here's what we have for you this hour.
COVID infections surge to a pandemic record as health officials expect the Omicron variant to keep spreading.
British socialite Ghislaine Maxwell has been found guilty on 5 of 6 criminal counts in her sex trafficking case.
President Biden and Russian President Putin plan a call today over what the U.S. says is a moment of crisis over Ukraine.
We're returning tons of gifts and retailers are paying the price.
There's a real significant increase in cost of returning goods for retailers. In fact, we're looking at about $33 to return a $50 item. I mean, that's real significant for retailers.
Nathan Bomey of Axios will be here in about 20 minutes with that story. The head of the CDC is defending the latest guideline shortening the isolation period for certain people who test positive for COVID amid criticism from public health experts who believe a negative test should also be included in the recommendation. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky says the new guidelines of 5 days of isolation for asymptomatic people or people who have seen their symptoms largely resolve stem from 2 years of understanding transmissibility and that the period was shortened from 10 days to reduce staffing shortages in hospitals.
We know that after 5 days, people are much less likely to transmit the virus and that masking further reduces that risk. And this is why people need to mask for 5 days after their 5 days of isolation.
In the U.S., there's been a 126% increase in cases and an 11% increase in hospitalizations. New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
We're basically preparing for a January surge. We know it's coming and we're naive to think it won't.
Meanwhile, data continue to come in from around the world about the apparent lessened severity of Omicron. In the UK, a study has found the risk of hospitalization admission with Omicron was 40% of that for Delta. British socialite Ghislaine Maxwell has been found guilty on 5 of 6 criminal counts in her sex trafficking case, capping federal prosecutors' push to bring the longtime confidant of disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein to justice. After 5 days of deliberations, a federal jury in New York convicted Maxwell for what prosecutors said was her role in helping Epstein sexually abuse underage teens. On the most serious count, sex trafficking of minors, the jury found Maxwell guilty. That count carries a maximum sentence of 40 years in prison. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams.
This office will always stand with victims, will always follow the facts wherever they lead, and will always fight to ensure that no one, no matter how powerful or well-connected, is above the law.
The trial outcome followed a years-long effort to bring closure to scores of accusers of Epstein who died while in jail on sex trafficking charges. During the 3-week trial, federal prosecutors said Maxwell recruited and groomed teens for sex acts with Epstein between 1994 and 2004, often under the pretext of procuring massages. Maxwell pleaded not guilty and denied any wrongdoing. A sentencing date has not been scheduled yet. The suspect in Monday's Metro Denver shooting spree foreshadowed the rampage in a series of books he wrote under a pseudonym and used the names of actual victims in his writings. This morning's Dave Duncan has more.
5 people were killed in the shootings and several were wounded, including a female police officer. Investigators believe the gunman targeted some of his victims, but his motive remains unclear. The gunman, identified as 47-year-old Lyndon McLeod, was killed after a gunfight with a police officer. McLeod wrote under the pseudonym Roman McClay about a character dressed in police gear who kills another character named Michael Swinyard. One of the victims in Monday's shooting was named Michael Swinyard. In another book, McLeod wrote about a character killing a woman named Alicia Cardenas. A woman by that name was also killed Monday. Jen?
Dave, Denver police investigated McLeod in 2020 and earlier this year, but charges were never filed.
What are your 2022 business goals? Simplified IT? More security? Dell Technologies has the expertise to help you. From transforming your digital workspaces to providing comprehensive end-to-end IT solutions, get high-performance computers featuring Windows 11 Pro with powerful hardware-based security and savings up to 45% during Dell's New Year event sale. Get special financing through Dell Financial Services. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal this week along with Dom Savino. Well, what do we know about Omicron? It may make people sicker faster and with symptoms that are milder. The latest from Karen Weintraub of USA Today. Karen, what do we know now about how and when Omicron becomes contagious?
The original virus took about 5 to 7 days to make you sick. This one seems to take 2 to 3 days. So we're not sure what that means for contagiousness. It may be that you're feeling lousy before you're contagious, which would be good news because, like other illnesses, if you're feeling lousy, you'll stay home and you're less likely to infect others. But it also may mean that you're contagious pretty quickly after being exposed and could expose other people.
The CDC has also agreed with some other studies that show it may be more mild Omicron. What are the latest symptoms associated with the variant?
Right. And that hasn't totally been confirmed yet. The hope is that it's milder, but every place we've seen it so far has been in areas like South Africa where previous infection rates were really high, or like Denmark where vaccination rates were really high. So it's not clear what this variant will do to somebody who's never been vaccinated or never infected. The symptoms that I'm hearing now that are a little different, more rashes, maybe a little less loss of smell, although I know somebody who did lose her smell from it. More or less the same symptoms, headache, fever, feeling horrible. A guy told me he felt like death for a couple of days. So it's still, even if you've been vaccinated, you still are in for a couple of bad days, very bad sore throat, that sort of thing.
Karen, what do we know about coronavirus, Omicron, and kids?
So the data for that is still emerging. It does seem like there are more kids being hospitalized, but it may be because so many other people are vaccinated, and really it's the younger kids who aren't vaccinated now. The best way to protect kids is the same thing people have been saying all along, which is get the adults around them, the older kids around them vaccinated.
We're speaking with Karen Weintraub of USA Today. Karen, what is the latest regarding shots and boosters for the younger set?
So the everybody over 5 is now eligible for vaccination. Everybody over 17 is eligible for boosters. The younger kids are going to be a while. The data, Pfizer is the furthest ahead, and they say second quarter of 2022, which means the spring, March, April, before younger kids under 5, 2 to 5 would be eligible, and younger kids even longer, 6 months to 2 years, probably mid-year next year.
And will kids from 12 to 17 or so be getting boosters anytime soon? That decision is also on the way, no?
Right. That decision has not been made yet. And some of that will depend on what the data with Omicron looks like. There's always a risk to any medical procedure, so they want to make sure that the benefits outweigh the risk.
Karen, what is the latest in terms of being exposed and testing? If you know you've been close to someone who tests positive, do you know when you should test?
So again, with the previous variants, it was more like 5 to 7 days. Now it's more like 2 to 3 days that you're likely to turn positive. Probably 3 days would be a good day to test, 3 days after exposure. Obviously, if you feel like you've been exposed, you're worried about being contagious, you should stay away, stay inside in your home if possible, and certainly away from vulnerable people.
If you don't think you've been around anyone and you don't have symptoms, should you be testing for any reason?
No, there's really no reason to test unless you fear an actual exposure or you're not feeling well. I do know a lot of people, there are colds going around now, and that's causing a lot of anxiety among people. And so it's worth testing if you feel lousy for some other reason. But if you're feeling fine and you haven't had an exposure, there's really not a ton of reason to test. Unless, I suppose, if you're going to see an elderly relative or somebody who's immune compromised, or you're going to a gathering, then you may want to test to make sure you're not harboring the virus that you're not contagious without being aware of it.
What is the latest on test availability, whether at home or in a public setting?
Right. So testing is still a major challenge for a lot of people. It depends on where you live. Some drugstores are sold out for miles around. Some drugstores do have them. In terms of testing, some communities are offering testing and some aren't, and it's sort of the luck of the draw. There is a website on the Health and Human Services, the federal government website, that can link you to tests, but there still is a shortfall. What happened was over the summer when rates came down, companies stopped producing so many tests and weren't quite prepared for the fall surge of Delta and now Omicron.
And also on the local level, I know here in New Jersey, there are many state sites that have a lot of relevant information for people in their own states.
Exactly. And there are some differences in terms of masking requirements. So it is worth looking at your own state.
Thanks, Karen.
Information.
Karen Weintraub of USA Today. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Nations across the globe are experiencing unprecedented infection rates from this latest wave of COVID. At home, the U.S. is now reporting a record average of more than 277,000 cases per day. In Europe, the U.K., France, Portugal, and Greece are among the many countries reporting record numbers as well. That's troubling to the head of the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus.
I'm highly concerned that Omicron, being more transmissible, circulating at the same time as Delta, is leading to a tsunami of cases.
The WHO says COVID cases are up 11% worldwide this week.
Number two.
President Biden is set to speak with Russian President Vladimir Putin today. It'll be the second conversation this month between the two leaders, this one at the request of Mr. Putin. The conversation comes amid escalating fears of a full-scale invasion of Ukraine, where Russia has amassed tens of thousands of troops at the border. The U.S. and European allies have threatened unprecedented economic sanctions for Moscow if it attacks Ukraine.
Number three.
A federal jury in New York has found Ghislaine Maxwell guilty on 5 counts of sex trafficking. It's related to the 60-year-old's role in Jeffrey Epstein's sexual abuse of young girls. During the trial, 4 women testified Maxwell recruited and groomed them as teenagers for Epstein. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams prosecuted the case.
I want to commend the bravery of the girls, now grown women, who stepped out of the shadows and into the courtroom. Their courage and willingness to face their abuser made today's result and this case possible.
Maxwell now faces 65 years in prison. The Korean War may be finally reaching an end. The U.S. and South Korea have come together on a draft agreement to end the conflict between North and South Korea. The fighting ended in 1953, but that was thanks to an armistice, not a formal treaty. A U.S. State Department spokesperson says the U.S. is now willing to meet with North Korea. And it's been a productive 2021 at the Natural History Museum in London. Researchers there say they have discovered 552 new species of animals and plants this year. Among the living discoveries were a metallic beetle native to India and a shrimp-like crustacean found off the coasts of Chile and Peru. The British researchers also discovered a beast called the hell heron. Don't worry, the hell heron was a towering meat-eating dinosaur with horns on its head that, of course, went extinct millions of years ago.
I'm running from that thing.
Yeah, no thank you. Hell heron, no thanks.
Thanks, Dom. Coming up, retailers paying the price for your returns.
If you've been back at the office lately, have you noticed how work attire has changed? The days of stuffy, uncomfortable clothes is gone, thankfully. And for the new wardrobe, Cuts Clothing is on the cutting edge of casual. They've elevated the classic t-shirt to something that fits the workday, the nightlife, and you perfectly. I know firsthand, I love my Cuts shirts. They're flexible, willing to move with me, and they're tough. Perfect for when I'm in the office or a night out. Get them for yourself now, and you'll not only look good at this year's holiday events, you'll look good and stay comfortable. There's something for everyone on my list and yours, not just t-shirts. There's polos, bomber jackets, joggers, and more. Get them all from Cuts Clothing now, and don't just save time, save money too. Cuts has your holiday shopping covered with a ton of new products and special site-exclusive offers every day in December. Plus, get 15% off site-wide at cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S, cutsclothing.com/Gordon to get 15% off, plus can't miss daily deals. cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
Returning unwanted gifts this holiday season is becoming so expensive for retailers that they just might let customers keep the products and issue refunds anyway. More from this morning's Jim Chesko.
It is still the holiday season, but we are also into returns season, the annual return those unwanted gifts time. Joining us to talk about that, Axios business writer Nathan Bomey. Nathan, first of all, approximately what percentage of gifts are returned each year?
Well, you know, it obviously depends on year to year, but we're looking at, and it also depends on where you buy it, whether you buy it in person or whether you buy it online. But, you know, this year we're expecting anywhere from, you know, maybe 3 in 10 gifts that are bought online to be returned. And this is, you know, not unusual because Americans are getting more comfortable now with buying products online. And the more comfortable they get with that, the more comfortable they get with returning them.
I'm guessing handling returns is pretty costly for retailers. Any figures to back that up?
Yeah, there's a real significant increase in costs of returning goods for retailers. In fact, we're looking at about $33 to return a $50 item. I mean, that's real significant for retailers. And that means that sometimes they don't even want to process the return. They'd almost prefer that you keep it.
Yeah, in your piece, you noted that a lot of retailers do end up telling consumers to just keep those items. How come?
Yeah, this is something that Amazon in particular is known to do. If they process a return and they basically calculate that the good would cost a lot more to return and get back onto the shelves than to just let you keep it.
Now, some items can go back on shelves, but I guess others cannot. So does that lead to even higher prices for consumers?
It certainly does. This is really important to know. This is not the sort of freebie that goes, unmentioned or unnoticed in the rest of the economy. Essentially, the more returns that can't be processed, the higher everyone else's.
Hey, what happens to those items that are returned but can't go back on shelves?
You know, some of them are donated. Some of them are kind of repurposed for sale. The retailers have sort of third-party outlets that they can have ultimately deliver the goods there and sell them and try to get a little bit of money back. It often depends on how quickly they're able to get the good back into the system. You know, this is the depreciation of goods that they bring in through returns is really the number one factor driving this process. The faster they can get them out there, the less the goods depreciate.
And you alluded to this earlier, and you said in your piece, don't try to game the system to get free stuff. I guess some people do try that, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you may see it from time to time that you're allowed to keep something that you are trying to return. But the reality is that they're keeping an eye on you. They're tracking that sort of thing. And you know, these individual retailers are not going to let you take advantage of it.
So Christmas is behind us now, and despite the many returns that we'll see in the days and weeks ahead, how was the 2021 holiday season overall for retailers?
Well, you know, we'll see where some of the other data points come out, but the early data suggests it was a great holiday season for retailers in comparison, at least, to 2020. We're looking at an 8.5% increase, according to MasterCard, and that's, you know, really great news. We're even seeing, for example, department stores appear to have had a good holiday season, and that's a, you know, the site for sore eyes for companies like JCPenney and Macy's. And so, you know, obviously there are going to be exceptions here, but it looks like 2021 was an excellent holiday season for a lot of retailers.
Axios business writer Nathan Bomey with this morning's Jim Chesko. It's coming up on 30 minutes past the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
We don't go online the way we used to. These days, we have instant access for everything from photos to our finances right on our devices. We're almost always connected. And without the right online protection, you're almost always vulnerable to hackers. That's why there's Aura. Aura is a new type of security service that protects all of your online information and devices with one simple subscription. It's all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more. Aura provides digital security protection to keep your online finances, personal information, and tech safe from online threats with an easy online dashboard and alerts sent straight to your phone. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. And for a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners up to 40% off plans when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com. AURA.com/Gordon to get complete protection and savings of up to 40%. That's A-U-R-A, AURA.com/Gordon.
The top stories and expert interviews that make sense of what you care about. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
On this Thursday, December 30th, Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Dom Savino. Some of our top stories and headlines: COVID infections surged to a pandemic record, 265,427 cases. A man accused of killing five people in a rampage in Denver is believed to have written fictional books that name some of his real-life victims. The Navy seizes $4 million worth of heroin in the Arabian Sea. Candace Parker of the WNBA's Chicago Sky named the AP's Female Athlete of the Year. And a preview of the college football playoff semifinals, that coming up in about 20 minutes. Sharing on Facebook may seem harmless, but leaked documents show how it may help spread misinformation. Rachel Axon of USA Today is here with the story. Rachel, how is Facebook monitoring what's shared on the platform?
What we found in the documents is Facebook's own researchers had several indicators that reshares, so, you know, things that are, you know, probably a couple hops away from the original poster, are far more likely to be misinformation than other content. And they studied this, found that, you know, that this is a pretty prevalent problem. You get pages and groups that, you know, pump out this misinformation, and they know misinformation is particularly likely to go viral or to be engaging to Facebook's users and spread that way. So they're aware of the problem, but, you know, proposing several solutions and not really enacting them in a way that would help tamp down on the spread of this type of misinformation.
Rachel, whose job is it at Facebook to monitor, or is it all computerized?
So the thing about this reporting that shows, you know, Facebook has a couple ways that they deal with misinformation and problematic content on the platform. And certainly the more labor-intensive way is, you know, a piece of content gets reported. It has to be either, you know, caught by their computerized system or the more labor-intensive human classifier. This is not that. What this is saying is that reshares that are, you know, a certain number of steps away from the original post, because they're far more likely to be misinformation, you could just, you know, make a simple metric change and across the board, just don't play those up.
And why not? Are they making more money based on how many times something gets shared?
So Facebook's own research showed in the documents that, you know, this type of content is particularly engaging. This is not included in the documents, but there was a public note from Mark Zuckerberg in 2018 where he had a graph that showed that, you know, as you get to that line between, you know, what is content that violates their rules and what, like, walks right up to it, as you're getting close to that line, that gets far more engaging. And so Facebook, you know, its algorithm is optimized for engagement, for people to react and like and share and comment and do all these things on a piece of content.
We're speaking with Rachel Axon of USA Today. Rachel, what does the term manufactured virality mean?
Yeah, so this is something that came up in the documents where you have pages and groups. This is particularly common among bad actors who will take pieces of content that had previously gone viral or had a lot of traction and just sort of recycle them as a way to grow their follower pages. And the researcher who studied this, you know, wrote in the documents that this is like a particularly bad type of virality. It's used by, you know, troll farms and IT cells and nefarious actors on the platform. And so Facebook can look at these groups and see, you know, what are the groups that are particularly gaming the system in this way. I believe the statistics that we found is about half of this type of content was shared by pages or groups that are getting 75% plus of their, you know, reshares from manufactured virality, and a quarter are getting, you know, more than 95%.
So, Rachel, what can be done about this? I would assume there's some people inside Facebook that are trying to kind of resist more regulation and monitoring, but I'm sure there are other employees there who know what's going on because we saw that from whistleblowers. What can be done?
Yeah, so one of the really illuminating things about these was how many different ways Facebook employees not only identified this problem, but then proposed solutions, things they could do to try to address it. And I'll just take D3 shares, for instance, because this was the first document that I read that was like, kind of a light bulb moment. Facebook found that a share that is more than two hops away from the original poster. So if you share it, it's a reshare depth of zero. If your friend shares it, it's a one. If their friend shares it, it's a two. Once you get to two plus hops, it's at least four more times likely to be misinformation. And that goes up the farther away that it gets. One of the things that they tried was just demoting those deep reshares. So anything that had this indicator that it's like two plus, they would throttle it and show it less. And they did this in some countries for some time. They did it in Myanmar leading up to their election and found, a significant reduction in photo misinformation. Yet they still rolled it back. They tried it in other countries. And this is proposed by Facebook's employees as being like, a very content neutral. No one has to sit here and judge like the merits of this content, whether it is misinformation or not, but just like we're gonna not display it to as many people.
Thanks, Rachel. Rachel Axon of USA Today. It's 20 minutes before the hour coming up. And look at some of the biggest tech fails of 2021.
What are your 2022 business goals? Simplified IT? More security? Dell Technologies has the expertise to help you. From transforming your digital workspaces to providing comprehensive end-to-end IT solutions, get high-performance computers featuring Windows 11 Pro with powerful hardware-based security and savings up to 45% during Dell's New Year event sale. Get special financing through Dell Financial Services. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal along with Dom Savino. While technology kept us entertained and connected during the pandemic of 2021, it also, in some cases, made our lives harder. Here with a look at some tech failures this year is Rob Enderle of the Enderle Group. Rob, cybersecurity experts say there were a number of massive data leaks. What went wrong?
Well, the Facebook and LinkedIn both had large data leaks this last year, and the Facebook was probably the larger of the two, only because they hold so much data. But it did showcase the dangers of the web and social media, that your stuff's out there and it could be out there for a long time.
What about ransomware? There were a couple of huge cases on that front, too.
Yeah, there were some huge ransomware events, Colonial Pipeline being the big one. They paid $4.4 million to pay off the ransom, and though the Justice Department was able to get $2.3 million back, but ransomware was a big event, with Colonial Pipeline being the major entity that was hit.
And that is something we should be very concerned about coming up in 2022 too, right?
Yeah, ransomware is going kind of crazy. It's made a lot of money for a lot of questionable people. Law enforcement is advancing against the folks that are doing it, but a lot of these folks are out of the country, and makes it very hard for them once the money, often something like Bitcoin, often cybercurrency, has been paid, to get that money back.
Rob, we had a couple of rather brief but major internet outages. How did that affect just about everybody?
Yeah, back on June 8th, Reddit, CNN, Amazon, and a bunch of others went dark. Due to a content delivery network named Fastly. And then another company, Akamai, that goes back to the beginning of the web, broke websites, including those belonging to Southwest Airlines, United Airlines, Commonwealth Bank of Australia, and Hong Kong Stock Exchange. Boy, they took down an entire stock exchange. The Fastly outage was fairly short. The Akamai was a bit longer. And then, of course, they weren't the only big ones. Amazon's web services went down, and they took out Disney, Slack, Netflix, Hulu, and a bunch of others at the same time. So last year this year was certainly an event to be remembered in terms of downtime.
And outages mean a lot of lost money for people.
Yeah, well, especially when you're talking about a stock trading entity, you're talking about millions of dollars a second.
We are speaking with Rob Enderle of the Enderle Group. In very general terms, it has been a year or more of the spreading of misinformation. That's not really one event, but something that tech is very involved in.
Well, Facebook got hit the hardest. They had a whistleblower, and she went public. Frances Haugen came forward in the U.S., and another whistleblower came forward in Europe, talking about just how badly the company had done with regard to protecting its users against false information, Facebook files. It's worth reading about them, but it's very damning. It clearly indicated, at least to me, that Facebook knew of the problem and wasn't doing enough to fix it.
Facebook has been in the news and in the spotlight for most of the year for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, pretty much. They've got an antitrust challenge going against them. Disclosure issues. This year is a year that I'd be happy to say goodbye to.
Rob Enderle of the Enderle Group. Coming up, a look at today's top stories with Dom Savino.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
For just the second time in seven seasons, the college football playoff includes three teams that didn't qualify the previous season, offering something new for fans this year. Tomorrow afternoon's first semifinal pits top seed and 12-1 Alabama versus number 4 and undefeated Cincinnati. By its mere inclusion in the playoff, Cincinnati's 2021 season will be remembered as a historic one. It took 8 years for a group of five team to be admitted to college football's most exclusive party. As a reward this year, Cincy will take on Dynasty Alabama, a team that has outscored opponents by a combined 2,750 points since the first year of the playoff. Alabama is heavily favored tomorrow, with odds makers giving the Crimson Tide a 71% chance of making the title game. Tomorrow's other semifinal pits number 2 Michigan against number 3 Georgia. The Wolverines have turned around their season this year with a ground-and-pound strategy, scoring 39 rushing touchdowns. But that strategy may be difficult to execute against Georgia's defense. The Bulldogs allow only a half yard rushing before contact. That's best in the nation, and have missed fewer tackles than any other major conference team. Georgia is led by quarterback Stetson Bennett, whose quarterback rating is tied for second best in the country. Michigan started the season unranked for the first time since 2015, and they'll be the underdog tomorrow. Georgia has a 62% chance of moving along to the title game, according to the experts. That'll do it for this hour. For Dom Savino, I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.